He said, when I started out in business in the city of London 35 odd years ago, everybody was in their pinstripe suits, their bowler hats, and had long lunches in private clubs. And he said, and I broke conformity. And then he said, and when you break conformity to that degree, how can you fail to succeed?
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Leslie Everett. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Leslie. One, as an international speaker, she's spoken in 28 countries on 5 continents. Two, she's a 3-time published author. And three, at 5 feet, 1.5 inches tall, her Walking Tall brand says it all. Leslie Everett, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you very much, George. It's a pleasure to be here.
Delighted to be talking to you today about personal branding. That's what Walking Tall is all about. And the phrase personal branding has been bandied about for many years. And I suspect that there are some myths out there. But let's start by saying, how do you interpret personal branding?
In a nutshell, I always say your personal brand is what people say about you when you've left the room, what they say about you when behind your back, when you've finished the meeting, when you finish the presentation, when you've left the social event, the words that people say about you, then that's your brand. And of course, we don't always get to know what that is, and we're not very much in control of it. But it's something that we really need to have on our agenda to get that feedback, understand what people say about us behind our back, and just manage the perception we want people to have about us more, because it needs to be authentic. So authenticity is the key to the work that I do around personal branding, for sure.
Authentic meaning being the same person regardless of who you're talking with?
Yeah, there's some we have to modify our behaviors and communication style at times, obviously, to make sure that the communication lands in the way that we need it to. But really, there's so many people in the corporate world that try and be somebody they're not when they're at work. There was a study done a couple of years ago that showed that around 34% of people go to work every day and try and be somebody they're not. And I think we need to be really aware of that, get to spend some time to really think about who we are, what drives us and motivates us now, what's our purpose, what really is it that we bring to the world in terms of our expertise and that golden thread that runs through everything we do, and just be conscious of keeping on that track so that we don't confuse people, that people know how to describe us to other people, because it's, bear in mind, you know, we want people talking about us to get those valuable referrals, whatever we do in business today. So yeah, it's being that, finding that authentic golden thread and being true to that.
Leslie, why do you think so many people are trying to be somebody they're not?
Yeah, it's a very good question, George. It's I think we get molded by the outside world. I think we put expectations on us. Oh, I've got to be more aggressive in the way that I do things, or I've got to be a little less extroverted when I'm in meetings. And we get told these things. I find when I work with corporate executives that often there's a lot of feedback that happens in the corporate world, especially for high performing talent, where there's a lot of development programs thrown at them. And they get a lot of feedback. And what then happens is that they try and react to that feedback, and then they lose who they are. And I always remember a program that I did for one of the big 4 consultancy firms back in London several years ago now. And I was asked to work on their partner track program with about 30 high performing individuals that were set for partnership. And they had a 3-day program where they were having to present one-on-one to big audiences, group presentations, one-on-one meetings. And they asked me to go in and observe them. and then to write a report on each of them and then work with them all individually. When I worked with them all individually, I found what was happening was they had been swamped with feedback from other partners, other people in the firm during this process that they were going through, and they lost who they were. They were trying to react to it and not really having the support to know how to deal with the feedback. So when we started looking at their personal brand and the authentic pieces that really discovered who they are and what their expertise is and how they want to be talked about, then it was almost like this sigh of relief to say, okay, I can be me. I just need to know how to be me and work on the weaknesses, but really build on that purpose and strength and core authenticity that I have. So I think that's one of the reasons that we try and be somebody we're not.
So listening and trying to follow every you should is a mistake.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't mean that we turn a blind eye to all the negative stuff. But I find when I'm working on training programs with clients, I often get people to think about what their brand is to start with, and then the feedback can be mapped over it. So yes, we take on board those things that we could improve on. But the things that we can improve on that really dilute our brand are the ones that we focus on most, or the strengths that really get our brand message across are the ones we focus on most. So it gives us a bit of a strategy, if you like. And with that, all important, as you talk about your intended message, we make sure that intended message, whatever form that is, gets out there in the way that we intend it to land.
Leslie, when you're working with senior people and executives, how do you discover what their brand is? Is there a key question that you ask? Is there a story you ask them to tell you? How do you help them discover what their brand really is?
Yeah, it's a methodology, and there's a number of angles, and everybody's different. And I really don't need to understand a whole deal about their business. I have people in all walks of life and different levels in business and different sectors. I don't need to understand any of that. But one of the methods I use, I call the espresso effect. And if you imagine an espresso machine, and all the coffee beans get thrown in at the top, and every one of those coffee beans represents a pivotal moment in your life, a story, an experience, something your mum said when you were small that you've never forgotten, that's always nagging at you, something a school teacher said, but pivotal moments in your life that can come back to you when you just start to think about them. And the coffee beans all represent one of those pivotal moments. Then they get ground and percolated around inside, and that produces your true values, your drivers, your motivators, your beliefs, your standards, your talents and strengths. They're all driven and formed from previous experiences that we have in life that maybe we've even forgotten about. And then in its purest essence underneath, in the little condensed cup of espresso, is the brand statement that we can start to form, those few sentences that really describe who you are, what differentiates you, what your specific expertise is, and I mean specific expertise that customers want to buy. That's what's formed from all of those experiences. So that's one of the techniques to really draw out the authentic piece that we need.
The brand message, should a person be able to state what their brand is, saying, well, my brand is... Do they need to be able to put it into a few words, or is it more a story?
It's, you know, we had for years, haven't we? We've had that elevator pitch, George, that we all know about. It's been rammed down as when we do networking courses and stuff. And I think there's an element of that. You know, if somebody asks us what we do, we want to be able to succinctly describe that in a way that's compelling and engaging. But it's almost like more of a story. So a technique I might use is, well, you know, what I do is this, but actually, you know how people struggle to in this world to do X, Y, and Z. And as a result, this is what happens. Well, what I do is this, and this is what happens as a consequence. And if you're sort of wrapping it into a little bit of a a story or something that's a bit more engaging, that's helpful. But I also think it's not just about being able to articulate this and reel it off, you know, sort of parrot fashion, because you've learned it verbatim over a number of years. It's about being able to reinforce that message in a number of different ways on social media, posts that you share, posts that you make, articles you write, presentations you deliver, by building in the stories that really enforce and reinforce the brand. And once we have that core of what the brand is, it's much easier to add the layers and get it out there in some sort of strategy rather than a fire hose type approach. So yeah, it's a good question, George, but it all comes back to that intended message. What is it that you intend to land out there? Let's look at how we can articulate it, and then how do we get it out there.
So is brand about individual expertise?
That's a part of it. So one of the structures or the methods that I take people through is really being able to articulate that expertise that you bring to the end client, whether that's internal or external. But it also added to that is, personality traits and characteristics, background influences that influence the way that we do things. Those are our uniqueness, that those added to the expertise create the uniqueness. But the expertise is what we're interested in business. So if you think about what your clients need, they're not buying you as a tax consultant. They're buying what you give them as a result of your expertise. So if you really think about an analogy of going to a hardware store and buying a drill, you're not buying the drill, you're buying what the drill gives you. So that may be the hole in the wall or the shelves to put the family photos on. That's the end result. I'm not interested in the mechanism of the drill. My husband might be, because he's an engineer, but I'm not. I don't care about the drill. I just want to know what it gives me as the end result. That's the way to really look at expertise and as part of your brand and what it is the client's buying. And what you give them as that end result is a combination of your professional experience and expertise, but also your characteristics, your personality, the way you apply yourself as well.
Once a person has some concept of what they believe their brand is, and perhaps they've discovered or they've worked with you, how do they test themselves from time to time to see if they're still being true to the brand, or could the brand change over time? I guess there's two questions there.
Yeah, that's a really, really important question as well, George, because we often think that people know what we do. And I've found this over my career several times. People will refer me to someone, and then I find that they've referred me in a way that is, that's not really what I do anymore. Or how did they get that? Why do they think I'm an image consultant? That's happened over the years. So I have to readjust. So it's a really important thing to do, to ask peers, people internally, externally, what is it that you believe I do? Tell me, when you refer me to people or you talk about me, what do you say? How do you describe me? And it's a perfectly good question to ask people. I mean, let me ask you a question, George. Do you, when you think about people that you refer, is there one or two people that come to mind immediately that you refer a lot or you talk about a lot because you find it easy to describe what it is they do?
And the short answer is yes. Yeah, the people who stand out in my mind, because I know what they do and how they do it. And when you bring it up like that, it's not so much just what they do, but it's how they do it and my respect for how they do it. So my respect has a big, big influence on who I might recommend.
Yeah. And I guess when you're bringing guests onto this show, you don't do that if you don't really know what they do. It's a tough one because you don't know how to position it, if it's going to be right for the audience. So I guess it's a lesson for everybody to be really clear about that, because you're not going to get the exposure that you need to build your brand if people don't clearly know what it is you do. You don't get talked about. You don't get those invites to panel sessions or to speak at conferences. And I'm a great believer today. My whole philosophy is around personality of the brand. So when we're talking about corporates and people and leaders within corporates, I believe there's a double benefit to the personal brand. It's certainly to the individual leader. But if you can develop your leaders as an organization to have a strong brand, then you help build the PR for the business because they get more exposure outside because people know how to talk about them, want to invite them to speak to the media, want to invite them to a conference to speak on a panel or do a presentation. They get more exposure outside, which is great PR for the business. So it's integral to business growth. It's not just about the individual development. There is two benefits really to this in a corporate world.
The personal brand, and I can see where the leader of an organization, the personal brand can be important. And when you mentioned about, you started talking about people who are personal brand became part of the business. I'm thinking of Jack Welch. His personal brand became bigger than the company itself, and really the company kind of went along on his coattails almost at one point, I think. But not every corporate leader can be as big as Jack Welch. If you could give them one or two pieces of advice to nurture their brand, what would that be?
There's a wealth of stuff I could give, but I think, you know, one of the things that instantly came to mind when you said that, George, was, you know, don't be afraid to be humble, to be vulnerable as a leader. Expose that piece about you that people don't typically know about, because that makes you human. That allows you to take people with you much more effectively if you're transparent, if they can understand a bit about the true human being rather than just the leader. And it always reminds me this of a situation I was in. I was presenting for a large bank in Poland, Polish bank. And I was doing a keynote speech, but they called me in before the conference into a meeting that all their leaders were having, because they had a panel session with their leaders. And they were working out what questions these leaders are going to be asked, because it was about how they got to where they are in their career. And this is a big career conference for middle managers up. And they were just playing around with these questions. And I said to them, one of the questions I think, can I just add in and suggest that you might want to consider asking is, tell me about a time when you really messed up and what did you do about it to recover the situation? And the reaction was quite extraordinary. They said, "Oh, I don't think we can do that. Oh, no, they want to be inspired. You know, these people are successful. They want to be inspired as an audience as to how these people have got to where they are. I want to talk about failures." And I said, well, it just exposes that human piece, that vulnerability, the humility. I haven't always got this right. You know, it's been hard work. I've got things wrong, but this is what I did about it. And it was so sad. They never asked that question. And they missed a massive opportunity, I believe, to expose those leaders for who they really are and add to their personal brand and the strength of character and the success of who they are. And I always believe that that's an important part of discovering that brand. And that's one of the things that as a coach you can draw out and then use it in a really positive way.
And the person who came to mind when you mentioned about messing up for me is Richard Branson, who's hugely successful and yet has many very public failures.
Oh yes. Yeah, and it's why he doesn't speak to camera very often. He's really not good at it. And he, when he's interviewed, he fidgets a lot. He's not very good on camera, and he knows that. But sometimes he gets it right. And I think it was my great friend Alan Stevens once told a story about Branson in a presentation. And I remember seeing this when there was a Virgin train crash. Do you remember this? Where it was a terrible train crash, and the train sort of concertinaed. And Branson put himself out there for a very, people were very surprised, in front of the cameras, in front of the press, and with the train strategically behind him. And he offered condolences and said all the right things. And then he said, but I want you to take a look at the train. Not one window is smashed. These trains are the safest trains in the world, or words to that effect. And he expressed his true character and his natural way of being compassionate. But because he doesn't speak very often, because he said that, it came across really naturally and authentically. And that was a very powerful way of expressing his brand that day when he doesn't really do it very often. But he's very consistent. I interviewed him once for a book that I wrote way back, my first book, Walking Tall, because I wanted to ask him about his success and his brand being so powerful, but actually I know that he doesn't really come across well as an individual when he's interviewed, and he looks a bit of a mess at times. He's been criticized for that. So he gave me an interview, and one of the questions I asked him was, I was very careful with the words. I said, for somebody who I know focuses a great deal on your brand image as a company, as a Virgin Group of companies, you seem to break a lot of the image rules yourself personally. What do you put your success down to? And he gave me this really long answer as a short version. He said, when I started out in business in the city of London 35 odd years ago, everybody was in their pinstripe suits, their bowler hats, and had long lunches in private clubs. And he said, and I broke conformity. And then he said, and when you break conformity to that degree, how can you fail to succeed? And I thought, wow, that's a powerful answer. But I think it goes deeper than that. I think it's the consistency with which he breaks conformity that's his key to success. And you know what? He can only be consistent because it's authentic. He's really in tune with his authenticity, and he's consistent with that. We can't copy it because that's Branson's brand. But that's the way he's been consistent. That's why he's successful, I believe. And I think if all of us really discovered what it is we want to be consistent with, because it's authentic, and really keep that consistency with every layer we add to the brand, then we would be on a really journey to success, and in the way that Branson has been. So yeah, he's a great role model in lots of ways.
And Leslie, the lesson I'm hearing there is the key word is consistency. Yeah. So if someone reacted to the word about about breaking conformity, if someone thought, oh, the answer, my answer to building a brand is simply to break conformity, to be different, break the rules, be different. And if somebody thinks that that's the answer, all I have to do is break the rules. Well, yeah, but you have to do it consistently. You just can't do it one time and think that, hey, here I am. No, we're going to be watching you every day to see what you do next.
That's right. Exactly right. You know, very few people have done it like Branson has, because it's not consistent. He's done it throughout his whole life. From school, he got expelled from school. He did it in the record industry. It's nothing new to him. But I don't think I've ever met anybody else that does it quite the way he does. Even Elon Musk, I mean, not the same way. And so, yeah, we just can't. Great to have role models, and we should have role models, but not to emulate everything that they do. We can look at how they might go about doing things and then develop our own brand. And you know what? It's not an easy process, George, to really get our clarity on our brand. And I always say we can't see the label from inside the bottle at all, very clearly. Hence why I can help people look inside from the outside using a lens externally to see what's there, suck it out, put it all out on the table, as it were, and then start to piece it back together. It's not an easy process to do on your own. It doesn't mean you can't make some good inroads by thinking through that espresso effect method, perhaps.
So it's a little difficult to know what people are saying when you leave the room, because you left the room.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you've got to find a way of you're never going to know that for sure. I mean, you're reminded of these things when you meet people, or you're having on a Zoom call or whatever, and someone says, oh, we were in a meeting last week and your name kept cropping up. And you think to yourself, it reminds you that you talked about when you're not there, and you really want to ask, well, what was said? Tell me what was said. But you don't really like to, because it seems a bit egotistic. So you never really find out. So the only thing we can do is try and get feedback on what sort of brand we're projecting on a consistent basis from maybe different angles. I have a questionnaire that I use as a standard thing that people will get to gather feedback before they work with me. And it's a way of just monitoring what is being said. And all we can do then is really focus on who we are, what we want to be portraying, what we want the perceptions to be, and just absolutely focus on adding the layers consistently, whether that's through phone calls, meetings that we organize, that we attend, presentations, social media posts, text messages, anything. We're adding a layer all the time to our brand that needs to be consistent. And I think we've got to be really mindful of social media as well. I mean, you said at the start, George, that some people have a view of different views of what personal branding is. There's a lot of upcoming young people out there who call themselves personal branding experts. And what they're really focusing on is having this massive following of people on Instagram and getting TikTok videos out there and having huge followers on social media and digital media. That's an important part, but it's not what a personal brand is. We build that in strategically once we've got the core messages there. So, you know, it's a process we have to go through. It doesn't just happen automatically. Although we have a brand, whether we think about it or not, of course, it's out there already. So,
And I find that ironic about, you know, we don't know what people say when we're out of the room. When I I went through a coaching program. I took a coaching program years ago, and the first assignment was that I was supposed to get feedback from 10 people who know me well. So I really, you know, I had to find 10 people who actually admit that they know me. And one of the questions was, you know, what do they see as my strength? And I always thought, you know, if someone asked me, you know, previously, George, what's your strength? I'd say, well, you know, if I get it down to one thing, it's that I simplify things. And you know what? All 10 people, not one of them said that.
Yeah, right.
None of them said that. What about me simplifying things? Don't you know that? Don't you know I do that? No, they didn't know that. What was most common was, which surprised me, but it shouldn't, because we can't see what's on the label when we're inside the bottle. They said that, George, you ask good questions and you listen well. Oh, okay. Oh, I guess I do. How about that?
Isn't that amazing when you do, when you ask these questions? If you have if you're in a network of any sort, a mastermind group, ask those questions. What is it you say about me to other people? How do you describe me? It's a real fun exercise too. Great one for teams in the corporate world. But you're right, it's amazing what people give you when you ask that question. And then you can hang that off. And I guess that really, if you think about it, when you ask great questions and you listen, allows you to simplify things. Because I would imagine you have a real skill, George, for kind of distilling what you're hearing and then being able to use that in a simplified way. So they're probably saying what you are, but they're hearing it in a different way. And that was really valuable, I would imagine.
It was. And that's a valuable reminder that you just put out there. More people should ask their colleagues, their associates, if you were going to introduce me to somebody, what would you say about me?
Yeah.
Or what do you say about
me? That's right. Yeah. Because everybody in a corporate world is in a business development role in some way, whether it's directly or indirectly. I work with a lot of people in the corporate space that are middle to senior management, as well as the executive teams, but they're not, especially maybe in accountancy and finance, where they're not directly selling. But they are in the way that they do their work and they sell their expertise, because that feeds into the business development team in terms of the trust and credibility that the firm has, for example. So everybody's in a business development role, whether they like to think they are or not. It might be internal selling. So we've really got to be clear about how people are describing us, because our skills and talents are often hidden. We've got stuff that people don't even know about. So internally, we need to be making sure people know what it is we do for the good of the bigger picture and for the business growth.
Leslie, if people want to learn more about how they might develop their own personal brand or nurture it, you have a program available. And I believe where they can find that, the website, which is in the description as well. But the website for those who are taking notes is walkingtalltraining.square.site. And that's a 3-hour workshop, and it includes a 90-minute coaching session with Leslie. And folks, you can find that in the description as well, and highly recommend it. Leslie, we're maybe coming out of the pandemic, maybe. Maybe we're going to go back. I don't know. Maybe it's going to go back and forth a few times. But during these times, especially times of change and uncertainty and different ways of communicating, if you could offer people who are in the workforce who are worried about their careers, what one, two, or three pieces of advice might you give them to to strengthen their career possibilities?
It's a real tough one. And, you know, it's cropping up more and more now. People are anxious about it, or even anxious going back into the workplace because they've been working remotely for a while. But, you know, are people, the questions are being asked, are people who are in the office getting better career opportunities than me because I don't feel comfortable going in the office? There's a whole ton of things around that, which obviously affects our confidence as well. Be as visible as you can. I wouldn't say over communicate, but communicate more than you have been doing. So before meetings, is there something that you can send out to say, hey, these are a couple of things that I think would be good to add to the agenda for the meeting? I'd like to have 5 minutes to just position this particular topic if I can at the meeting. So, you know, work harder at the preparation for that, and then follow up as well. Things that you've heard from the meeting. I'm using meeting as a central point because we all have so many meetings. Following up, is there a piece of research that could be useful for everybody who attended that meeting to have, to be able to see, because it's relating to a topic that was covered? So it's the preparation, keeping the visibility high, making sure that you have airtime in a meeting, that you bring something valuable because you planned it, and then the follow-up that just keeps you visible after it. So working harder at being strategic, I guess, with your input, because that's what's of value to everybody, the team, the company as a whole. It's a challenge for a lot of people, and I'm getting that coming through a lot with the coaching that I'm doing. It's causing a lot of anxiety, but that would be one way to look at it.
Leslie, when you're coaching an individual on help with their brand, identifying and then nurturing and promoting their brand, is there ever a time when you say, you know what, I can't help you, you're beyond my help? Is there something that they might say or do or convey that is a warning flag to you that's saying this person can't be helped?
I don't think I've ever come across anybody that can't be helped. There will be people that I think are not helping themselves because they're not making time in between the sessions to put stuff in place, to try new things. But then again, the sessions so if there are people like that, and, you know, people are time constrained, and it shouldn't be an overhead. But when they come to the session, it's almost like that 90 minutes is, this is my time to breathe. This is my time to get to offload stuff, to articulate challenges. Even if I'm doing most of the talking, it doesn't matter. I'm offloading, and it's really valuable to me. So even if there are people that don't get a lot done in between the sessions, so feels like they're not making the progress they could do, that time is valuable. And I'm a great believer that everybody should have a coach. All leaders should have a coach. It has so many benefits and so many benefits in so many different ways. Even if it's that time just to breathe, make sense of what's going on. I've just got off a coaching call this morning, and there's a lot going on in this lady's life. So I'm just letting her talk, and we're just making sense of some of it, being able to put it back in a way that she can perhaps manage it through a little bit better. And I know it's hugely valuable. So in answer to the question, I don't think I've ever come across anybody that can't be helped. There will be some that come to a natural end and they feel like they have what they need in order to keep their life on track. But sometimes they come back because I tried this on my own for 6 months. I need to be kept accountable. I need your guidance.
I'm curious, are there some people who think that, well, I don't want to brag? That sounds like bragging if I have a personal brand. You know, like, I'm not Nike. What do you say to people who come with that approach?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people like that, a lot of introverts that say, I don't want to shout about what I've done and my achievements. So lots of ways to do that. We look at the stories. Sharing the stories is a way of talking about what you've achieved without directly saying it. So it's just a matter of clarifying what your value is to other people. Often these people are all about other people. So let's clarify what your value is to other people. That makes you want to talk about it because you want more people to benefit from that. There's a great book, actually, I don't know if you've seen it, George, called Brag, by a lady called Peggy Klaus, Klaus, I think. And the subtitle to the book is called The Art of Tooting Your Own Horn Without Blowing Your Trumpet. What's perfect? And so it's full of little tidbits of things that you can use to actually speak about what you've achieved without shouting about it from the rooftops. And, you know, it's not about saying, oh, how great am I? Look at who I am. Look at what I've achieved. And we all know people who do that. And it's pretty negative. So we're building it in to looking at what the end result is of what you do, and often for other people. And that will help people to sort of get over that issue of having a personal brand. We all want to be known for who we really are. So
be known for who we really are. An excellent note to wrap up on. My guest today is Leslie Everett, author of Walking Tall and the Walking Tall Program, reminding you that your personal brand is what people say when you leave the room.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.